Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have made your light shine in this world of darkness when your Son, Jesus Christ, was born into this world to save us. We ask you to enlighten our hearts by your word of grace as we come before you today in worship and praise. Fill our hearts with your love and your grace, and give us the confidence of your continued presence. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Songs of Thankfulness and Praise.
Thank you.
Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him, and have deserved only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him, and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray. Have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in Him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are His own dear child. May God give us the strength to live according to His will. Amen. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. We pray this in Jesus' name, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. One of the themes you'll hear repeated through our scripture readings and sermon text today is the Lamb of God. Peter refers to that in our first reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. And some of these words will be referenced in our sermon for today as well. Therefore, after preparing your minds for action by exercising self-control, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Rather, just as the one who called you is holy, so also be holy in everything you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." If you call on the Father who judges impartially according to the work of each person, conduct yourselves during the time of your pilgrimage in reverence, because you know that you are redeemed from your empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, not with things that pass away, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. He was chosen before the foundation of the world, but revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Our second reading for today is from the Gospel of John. We read from chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. These verses from John chapter 1 take place the day after our sermon text, and these verses come immediately after our sermon text for today. Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, What do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia.
I invite you to please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 5. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, I Lay My Sins on Jesus.
The spotless.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away our sins and the sins of the whole world, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from John chapter 1. We'll read verses 29 through 34. The next day, John, and that's referring to John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water." And John bore witness, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Right now we are in the season of Epiphany in the church year, a season that celebrates Jesus being revealed to all people. That's what the word Epiphany means. It means to reveal or to show, or if you want to use a more old school term, to manifest, to make known. So during the season of Epiphany, we're going to be looking at various accounts in the Gospels of some of the ministry of Jesus or the events that happened in Jesus' life. And we're going to look at each of these texts and find out what they reveal to us about Jesus. Now, truth be told, that's pretty much what we do every Sunday. That's what I try to do in every single sermon. What does this text reveal to us about Jesus? That should be the question we ask as we come into the worship service. That should be the question I ask when I prepare a sermon every Sunday. But during the season of Epiphany, we're going to focus even more closely on that thought. What does this text reveal to us about Jesus? And so we pray that God the Holy Spirit, who is the revealer of all truth, would bless our study today and through the coming weeks. In our text for this morning, we read the familiar words of John the Baptist, who cried out as he saw Jesus coming toward him, "Behold, the Lamb of God." These are important words, words we need to pay attention to. In fact, John uses an interjection in the Greek that means, "Pay attention." And the King James Version, the New King James Version, which we're using today, translate that Greek interjection with the word, "Behold." I think that's kind of the most powerful English word we can use, or the most accurate English word we can use to translate that interjection. Most modern translations just put "look," and that's how we probably would speak today. If you wanted to point to something and draw attention to it, you'd say "look," or "pay attention to this thing." So this important thing that John is pointing to, the important thing that's about to be said, is about Jesus being the Lamb of God. And notice from our gospel reading this morning, John said it again the very next day when he saw Jesus. "Behold, the Lamb of God." So what important things do these inspired words from John reveal to us about Jesus? "Behold, the Lamb of God." Well, first of all, it reveals to us that Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. If you're following along with the outline in the bulletin, I left the 3 points blank. So I'll repeat each of the 3 points so that if you're writing things down or writing notes, you can hear the 3 points. It reveals that Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. That's the first important thing we have revealed to us through these words of John. The Lamb in the Old Testament, for the Old Testament believer, was one of the most significant, if not the most significant, picture of who the Messiah was and who the Messiah was going to be and what he was going to do. So when John the Baptist saw Jesus and exclaimed to the people around him, "Behold, the Lamb of God," the people probably had a pretty good idea of the picture that John was painting for them, because they had used lambs in their worship services literally for centuries. You can go back several thousand years to the very first Passover, when the Lord Jehovah was freeing the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. That's the beginning of the Passover. He, at the end of his 10 plagues, it was a lamb without blemish, without spot, which God commanded the Israelites. Each household was to kill one of these lambs, roast it and eat it, and spread some of its blood outside the doorposts to their house. Again, this was the first Passover. The Lord had told his people, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Again, his personal name, Jehovah. "Now the blood shall be a sign for you in the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Well, it wasn't just on the Passover that the Israelites used a lamb in their worship. A little later on in their history, the Lord Jehovah also commanded that lambs be used for the daily offering, one in the morning and one in the evening. A lamb, a male without blemish, according to the book of Leviticus, was to be used during the burnt offering. A lamb was also to be sacrificed as a sin offering as well. So you can see the picture, right? Especially if you'd had centuries of this in your nation's history. Jesus is pictured by this Passover lamb and these sacrificial lambs. And the first Passover, those who were covered by the blood of the lamb were saved from this plague of death that was inflicted on the firstborn in Egypt. Those who are covered by the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, are saved from an even worse fate. We're saved from death, from sin, and even hell itself. Remember those words that Peter wrote in our epistle reading for this morning, just from a few moments ago. He said this, "Because you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, not with things that pass away, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. He was chosen before the foundation of the world, but revealed in these last times for your sake." Jesus and the salvation he would win for us by his sacrifice as the Lamb of God has been revealed to you for your sake through the Word of God. That brings us to the second thing this text reveals to us about Jesus, the Lamb of God. The second important thing is that it reveals that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for sin. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for sin. He's not just a sacrifice for sin. He's not just the sacrifice for some sins, but not all of them. If that was the case, his sacrifice would literally mean nothing to us. We either need all of our sins forgiven, or we do not get into heaven. He was the perfect sacrifice for all sins for all time. So Christ's sacrifice as the Lamb of God also put an end to the need for any more animal sacrifices. I am very grateful for that, because I could not probably carry out the function of sacrificing a lamb each Sunday. That's not how I am wired. I'd rather do what I do as a pastor here and not have to do an animal sacrifice. Jesus' death on the cross took away the need for all those sacrifices. And even those Old Testament sacrifices of lambs and animals, they had no power in and of themselves if not for the sacrifice of Jesus. They pointed ahead and found their fulfillment in the cross, in the sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The New Testament book of Hebrews talks about this connection and the fact that Jesus' sacrifice takes away the need for these animal sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 9 says this, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, Jesus entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" The greatest sacrifice was Jesus, and all those other sacrifices found their fulfillment and got their effectiveness and their power from the sacrifice of Jesus. This Lamb of God, Jesus, did not need to be sacrificed day after day, but instead once for all time. This Lamb of God, Jesus, did not just take away the sins of an individual, but rather, as John says, the sin of the world. This Lamb, Jesus, has taken them all away. So as you came into the worship service today, were you coming bringing some sin that was burdening you? Something that was plaguing you, burdened by something that you have done, or maybe burdened and plagued by guilt over something that you have not done? As you come today, I encourage you to lay those sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He's already paid for them for you. He's already borne them on his back on that cross, as we just sang in the comforting words of our last hymn. I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. I bring my guilt to Jesus to wash my crimson stains, white in his blood most precious, till not a spot remains. Let's make sure we also don't get the wrong impression about this Lamb of God. Let's not think that he is weak or helpless, just because Isaiah prophesied rightly that he was as a lamb led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. No, that is what Jesus came to do. He came to die. He came to be the perfect sacrifice for sin. He came to be the Savior. But our text also reveals something else very important about this Lamb of God. And the third important point that this text reveals about Jesus is this. It reveals that Jesus is worthy of worship and praise. It reveals that Jesus is worthy of worship and praise. He is, as John the Baptist testified, not just the Lamb of God, but also the Son of God. He is, as the book of Revelation says, the Lamb who was slain. Think about the significance of the past tense there. He was the Lamb who was slain, but now lives and rules over all things. This Lamb of God is also the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. That's also what Revelation tells us. That means with his almighty power, he can help us in our weaknesses. He can rescue us in our troubles. He is the one, again, as Revelation says, is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So each day we can look, we can behold, we can pay attention to and see Jesus revealed right here in his word. We can look, pay attention to, and behold the Lamb of God who takes away my sin and your sin and the sins of the whole world. Amen. Please rise. That peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue our service with our next hymn, The Lamb.
Let's turn our hearts together in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your mercies, that you pierced the darkness of the sinful world and of our own hearts with the glorious light of salvation that shines through your Son, Jesus Christ. You loved us and sent him to pay for our sins, and by your Holy Spirit you have turned our hearts from unbelief to faith in our Savior. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, give each of us the joys of heart and peace of mind that accompany faith. Fill us with your love, that the devil may never again have dominion over us. Live in us that we might live for you, that others may see in us your love in everything we do. Forgive our many sins. Heal our bodies of illnesses according to your good pleasure. Relieve those who suffer heartache and pain. Give a new sense of purpose to the lives of those who feel useless and dejected. Uphold those who are faint-hearted and strengthen those who are weak. Deliver the oppressed. Fill our hearts with the warm glow of your love. O Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come and chase away the black clouds of gloom and sin and unbelief that threaten every heart. Shine with the bright beams of your gospel, that sinners everywhere turn from their sins to Jesus. Equip each of us so that we might become effective witnesses of your grace. Give us grateful hearts to fill your treasury with our earthly goods, that missionaries can be sent out into all parts of the world, into fields that are white for harvest. Bless the word which is preached to our souls, preached to souls across our country and across the world. Especially bless the unselfish work of kingdom workers in far-off places where Satan has raised many barriers to the gospel. Never leave us or forsake us, or permit us to lose our hope and our hold on eternal life. Rid us of our laziness and make us diligent in all of our Christian duties in this coming new year that we are in right now. In all this, we pray that the name of our Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, would be glorified. And in his name now we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service with the hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. I invite you to stand for the last verse. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray that you've been blessed with the message that you've heard again today. Following our service today, the Women's Auxiliary will be meeting in the fellowship hall, I assume, at 11 o'clock. Next Sunday, our usual time of worship service and Bible class will be 9 a.m. Bible class, worship at 10. This afternoon, I'll be traveling to Hayward for our worship service there at 1 p.m., and Bible class will follow at 2. A few notes for this week. Tomorrow, Monday, there is no school at SSLS. Tomorrow is MLK Day. Tuesday, Board of Education will meet via Zoom at 6 p.m., and then Wednesday, our elders and church council will meet via Zoom at 7:15. A big thank you to those who helped with some of the teardown of some of the items that will be being removed from the fellowship hall and the entryway. A lot of work got done yesterday. You may have noticed when you came in, either to the entryway or to the fellowship hall, that there are some paint samples on the wall. I will turn some of that over to Mike, but there are some paint samples on the wall that we're looking for input on for an accent wall in the entryway and an accent wall in the fellowship hall. We will be adding another lighter green to the agenda there. I'm guessing the ladies will probably talk about it as well. But if you have opinions to share or thoughts about the paint colors, please speak with Mike. You could speak with Leslie, myself, Scott, anyone. Appreciate all the work that's put in and the work that will be done to prep and paint and get ready for the new flooring. Thinking about just in about a month and a half, the interior of our church building and our fellowship hall is going to look very, very different. Praise God. It's going to be a very good renewal of our facility. At the end of the month, a reminder that our annual voters meeting will be held on January 29th after the service at 11. Those who are committee chairmen will need their reports turned into our secretary, Mark Gullerud, by Sunday, January 22nd. That is rapidly approaching. There are some grapefruits for the taking in the entryway of church as well. There's a lady that lives near here that has a big tree full of grapefruits, and every once in a while I'll get a call from her, and she says, "It's the grapefruit lady, come pick them up." So we got a whole case full of them. Take as much as you'd like with you as you leave today. There's a note about the National Women's Retreat, a virtual event that will happen on Saturday, January 28th. There is registration information and time information in your bulletin on page 10, so please check that out. Mission Helper trip, if you'd like to go on that trip to Nepal, the deadline for registration is tomorrow, and there are some spots available. There's also the World Missions Prayer List for the month of January. Please read through those and keep our brothers and sisters in Christ overseas in your prayers. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.